This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We're a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Oh my God, Naomi. OMG.
OMG. OMG.
At what point does that fall into like rapping granny territory when I start using slang? Like at what? I think I'm already like on the borders of that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I think you have another decade.
Well, okay, well, I'm going to say a couple things, and you tell me if it's like, uh-oh. Wow, that song slaps.
Uh-uh.
Yes, all right, I'm already there.
Yep, yep.
Just stick me on an ice floe and push me into the Arctic Ocean.
There's not enough ice, actually, so people can no longer be on floes. You just got to jump in the cold water, honey, and hope. And hope.
But what I was going to say was we are exhausted. What a week it's been. But specifically, the week started off for us with you doing a Netflix taping with David Letterman.
Yes. For the Netflix festival, David Letterman did a series of shows where he had comics on. They did 5-minute sets and then sat down for interviews with him. And so, you know, I had spent the last month getting ready for that, trying to get a set together. And we did that over the weekend. And it's just funny because perhaps it's both age and just not going out as much in general, because it was like, we didn't get home until midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I was wired post-show and didn't go to sleep until after 3.
Mm-hmm.
And honey, I haven't been right since. That was Saturday night. That was Saturday night. And I still am like
recovering.
Trying to get myself together.
That's okay. So that's how you know you're old. Okay. So it takes forever to recover from to be honest, for both of us, specifically you, obviously, though, but both of us, a lot of energy being there and doing
yes.
all the stuff that we had to
yes,
do, being
yes,
very
yes.
social.
It was very social. Also, too, aside, but I was wearing an outfit that was like, you know, extra cute. And we were outside the whole time and just like freezing cold. And you know how like when you're freezing and then you get into warmth and you just say like, let me just die here. Do you know what I mean? Like your body just gets like so warm and loose and then you're just like, I never want to move again. That's kind of something that happened to me. That's
yeah.
something that happened to me Sunday morning.
Yeah. So that and then slang. Like there's an obvious like if you use slang and it's just like,
oh, okay, I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you talking about being old. So old is not being able to stay out past 10 and also using words like slaps.
Yes, my fit was fire. I think, hold on, if I drop that naturally in conversation, you might get a look, but saying it specifically and saying it so white.
Yeah, saying it so sharp, so crisp. My fit was fire.
Caucasian.
Red leather, yellow leather. My fit was fire.
My fit was fire. My fit was fire. I'm ready to do the news. But yeah, the Letterman thing, it should be out in a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, it comes out, yeah, sometime in June. And, you know, I'm going to get all into it because, you know, there's always some tea and drama, but we're going to save that for the Patreon, okay? We bring the tea to the Patreon.
Oh, yeah,
so
of course.
Patreon.com/couples
therapy pod.
Yeah, so you'll be hearing that soon, but
$5. Two extra episodes a month. Pretty much what supports the show. A little bit from ad sales.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, should we get into it?
Yeah.
Okay, because this episode, we had such a fun time. This is someone who's my first time really talking to her. And I like these episodes where it's like people who you kind of know, but really you get into it on the pod.
Well, our guest is friends with a lot of our friends.
Yes.
And that's what made me think to invite them on the show.
We have a lot of, as Jackie Johnson would call them, muchies. Mutual friends. We are talking to Danielle Pinnick. She is an actor, comedian, writer. You know her from the TV show Ghosts on CBS, Teddy. She's also been on Young Sheldon and Get Shorty, the TV show. So she is really coming through. She is young, gifted, and black, kind as can be. And we go on an international journey with her that I felt like lifted me up.
Yeah, this is brilliant. By the way, I want everyone to know. I need everyone to know this. There is a listener advice question about being ghosted. I did not pick that question because of Danielle, because of Ghosts. I picked it because I'm trying to go through some of the older questions that we haven't answered yet. That was one of them, and I wasn't thinking. So please, I was not too clever by half with that. Yes, okay, folks? Okay?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Please.
Even though, see, I think it's cute. But I get it. I get it. I'm glad that you had to make sure everyone knew that we weren't out here. We weren't out here.
Oh, sure. They call me No Gray Areas, Andy.
Okay. I think it's time that we roll it. Now, Danielle, do you often like to start your Saturday mornings with podcasts? Is this part of...
I love it. I'm so excited to be here. I'm such huge fans of yours.
Oh, what? My goodness. No. Oh, my God. This is huge. To have a celebrity in our midst saying she's a fan.
Oh, my gosh. I'm never a celebrity. Like, are you kidding? I still, like, wash my clothes by hand, so. That's it. That's it.
Danielle, we greeted you with chaotic energy. Mabel had knocked over a glass of soda right before we started, like a minute before. So it immediately flooded our systems
with
lunacy. But I want to say, we've never met before. However, we have a million connections.
We have connections. All right?
Yes! Not just friends. There are like friends of ours who are on the same show as you, or friends of ours that you know perhaps from Chicago, but also... I looked at your Wikipedia before we started. Two connections. Grew up in Teaneck. Okay. Grew up in Teaneck, where Naomi's mom now resides.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh. Yes. I love that.
Isn't it so wild? So random. Teaneck is now where I holiday. Christmas holiday.
Oh, I love that. I miss Teaneck so much. I really do.
You do?
I do. Well, the thing is, it's like one of those places that hasn't changed. And that's true. Homebody.
Okay.
I'm a homebody, like, through and through. And change, I'm like, what's happening? Like, they still got the same $3 theater there. They still got the same ice cream shop, Bischoff's. Like,
yes.
Great places.
That's true. That is true. It definitely is. It has gone unchanged by the ravages of time. And that's warm. And then also the second connect.
Well, wait, I just want to ask, do you have memories of taking the GW into Manhattan to hang out?
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Are you kidding? That 167.
Yes, honey. 167.
That 167. You must. That's it. Right into New York Port Authority. It's the best.
Oh,
in and out.
In and out. Oh,
all so my funny. Memories are us chaotically... going from Harlem up to 181,
the GWB, to get up to the bus terminal.
Like running to try to get a bus to get to Naomi's mom's house.
Well, also because my mom, talk about chaos. So I love a 167, right? Like, get me on the NJT. I can just kind of settle in. No. My mother's like, take the little bus. I'll meet you on the side of the road.
Yes. That's it.
And that's what you're running for, that little kind of charter bus. And it's like, okay, you take $3 bills only, and you just stop on the side of the road.
And back in the day, it used to be a dollar bus. It was the best bus ever because, you know, you could get your little dollar and be anywhere in New York. And then now it's like $3,
It's three.
A whole three. They tried it.
Inflation got us.
I can understand having a spare dollar, but carrying around three spare dollars?
Never. Not in this economy.
Never.
Absolutely.
And even trying to get into the bridge is so expensive now. Like, I remember when it was like $6 to get through New York.
Yes.
And now it's like, what, closer 15. To 20?
It's like, or it could have even gone up, because last time I knew it was 15, so Lord knows it might have gone up.
There's no way. I'll just walk across the bridge. There's no,
right?
No point.
I know.
For all that.
I know. We're so old. We're like, oh, 15 to cross a bridge.
I remember when I was paying a quarter for a soda. I would get a Sunkist soda for a quarter at
okay,
the pool.
Actually, though, there were quarter waters. Okay. For 25
there
cents,
were, yes.
You get that little
thing. Yeah.
Sugar water, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's exactly right.
At our community pool.
It did the job. Exactly.
The soda machine was a quarter. When
ooh,
I was a kid.
Ooh, that's nice.
Okay, wait. Here's the second connection.
Second.
Number two.
Second.
Besides friends. So I guess this is technically third. Second connection. You went to Temple for undergrad. I went to Temple for grad school.
Oh, my gosh.
What are the odds?
Yes.
What are
I
the
love
odds?
It. When were you at Temple? Because it's changed significantly now. When I was there, it was a little different.
04 to 08.
Okay, yeah, we were there around the same time. Yeah, we were there around the same. I got there 06 and left in 20. Actually, I left Philly in 2011 because I was like, I'm going to stay an extra year and live in Fishtown. Worst decision of my life.
But,
Wait, why was that bad?
Worst decision of my life. Because the thing is, it's like, North Philly is a really tough area, especially when, like, I don't know what it's like now, but I remember, like, going to school and my mom, when we were driving into campus, she was like, is this where you're going? I said, yeah, I'm excited. I was like, I can't wait. And, you know, it's just like when I was going to Temple, you really just wanted to look like you were also, like, you didn't want to do too much, like, in terms of clothing or, like, wearing flashy things, because you would get robbed. I mean, that was a very thing, like, you would get robbed. I mean, there was, like, tons of gunshots that were happening at the McDonald's down the street from Johnson and Hardwick. Like, it was just a very, it was a tough neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I loved every second of it. Like, I was having the time of my Thelma and Louise life while I was there. And, like, I was living. I was living. I had so much fun. I mean, the clubs above a nail salon, like,
wait, when you were in college? So, was that
yes.
year after? Because I was like, because that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, I know you were
what,
doing
you
the
didn't
social
think I was
things.
Going to the,
you weren't doing
you didn't
the,
think I was going to the clubs when I lived in Philly? You didn't think when I was in grad school I wasn't going to Vine Street and hanging out at the clubs?
No, you weren't, babe.
Vine Street.
But, like, when you were an undergrad, right? Because it is in the city, they have dorms the first year? And then after that, are you on your own?
Yeah, dorms the first year. You can choose for year two.
Okay.
And then I lived in this area called University Village, which was, I mean, a wild time. Basically, like, these... They were like these condos with bunk beds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they just, I mean, a mess. But Johnson and Hardwick, where I lived, I mean, that was a glorified projects. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Okay.
Like, everybody that went there during that time knows that's what that is. They had these other ones that were called 1300s that were really stunning. But I guess, like, the dregs of the student society ended up in Johnson and Hardwick. And that's where I was.
Oh,
and I was like,
goodness.
I could get my high school GPA up just a little bit, maybe I would have made it in that 1300.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was tough. They had Temple Towers. They had a pool on top.
What?
And I was like, wow.
Pools wow, that's kind of savage. The real have-have-not situation. They
yeah,
made it very
obvious. It really
obvious.
Was.
Rude.
It really was. We had everything. No AC, rats, roaches, everything. And ooh. It was the best time of my life. Loved it.
Okay, literally just based on what we can see from you in the background here, your home seems spotless. Bright, clean. The idea that you said you could make it through these rats and roaches, I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it.
Loved it. Loved it. You don't even understand. Because also, like, I was just coming from private school, mm-hmm. and I just had to get out. Like, when I was in private school, I just felt like a chocolate chip voyaging through an endless gallon of milk.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I need to be out. And I was just excited to have my freedom by any means necessary.
Wait, Danielle, were you in the New York private school scene?
Jersey.
Yeah, oh, Jersey. Not Jersey, which is even worse.
Yeah, worse.
Yeah. It's rough. Wow. It's rough. But it was, you know, we had a good time.
Wow.
Naomi went to the Gossip Girl one.
I went to Dalton in New York, but you know that's a dark time too. It's its own darkness.
Yeah, it is.
Did you have uniforms?
No, we had dress code.
Uh-huh.
So Mondays were business. It was all like business attire. So we all came in there looking like Maxine Waters. My grandma, like, she took it to the extreme where she was like, we got to get you a handkerchief and 3-piece suits. And I was in there literally looking like I was going to church. Like, hello. Would you like this Gideon Bible pamphlet? Like, I look so crazy. So, but like, it was, you know, even though high school was wild, the thing that I would say, the great takeaway is that I discovered theater there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have discovered it outside of that school. Like, they really put a focus on the arts. And I was like, okay, well, this is the positive, but it was wild.
Yeah.
It was also a wild time, too.
Do they claim you now that you're on television?
Oh, yeah. Without question.
Yeah. Isn't that
lots
funny?
Lots of claiming, haven't
they? Where you're like, I hated y'all. Like, that's my thing. It's like, I think my alma mater has gotten the picture because I don't really engage with them. My high school, I don't engage. But where I'm always like, don't act like, you know what y'all did for me? Y'all traumatized me such that I feel the need to now get up in front of people to get laughter. Okay? I ain't giving you a dime.
I'm going to tell you this. One thing I would say about my high school is that, you know, there was... It was a lot of trauma, I would say, on the student side of things. But because I was raised by, like, my grandma and my mom, like, I became best friends with my teachers.
Yes!
So I have to say, like, I was definitely one of those girls. I was like, what you doing tonight? What you doing? Are we getting drinks? I can't drink, but I'm going to have the 7-Up. Like, then they were like, Danielle, go home. Like, I became such good friends with, like, my homeroom teacher and my English teacher. And also because I look like that. Like, we were wearing the same outfits. My grandma used to blame me with this goddamn outfit. But, like, we became so close. So I would say the one thing about that private school was that, like, my teachers were everything. And even though, like, it was just really a zany, weird time in Y2K, like, they were the bomb. They really were. And, like, I couldn't fool with the students. They were out of control. But, like, the teachers, they were everything.
Yeah. I had one English teacher. She was like, I got her twice. Because I think I had her maybe sophomore year. And then I took, like, her elective senior year. But what I loved is her name, Miss Luton. Shout out to Karen Luton, okay? Yes. She lived in, like, Washington Heights. So sometimes I would see her on a train. And she was like a white lady with like long hair. And one time I was like, Miss Luton, what you doing going uptown? And she was like, I live up here. I said, okay, see, that's why you cool. Because she was living uptown before anybody was messing with it. Because this would have been like 1999, 98. Yeah, no. Okay? So for a white woman to be living in Washington Heights, that was like pre-gentrifier. And I said, okay, you cool. You get it. And she was my girl.
Yeah. New York was tough. New York, you really used to be really tough. Like, I remember my whole family lives in Canarsie, and I remember, like, going from Jersey to Canarsie, and my mom used to be like, strap in. Because we would never know. Like, I remember ending up in the middle of a gunfight on Flatbush Ave trying to get beef patties. Like, 90s New York was really serious. And I think people forget it because it's like all these white people living in Crown Heights now. Yes. But it's like, it really used to be serious business.
Yes. Oh my God. A gunfight trying to get beef patties on Flatbush. That sentence is a poem.
That is, yes. That
is. It's a poem.
Yes, that is
literally.
If the rainbow isn't enough.
Exactly, for colored girls. Very much so.
Yes.
You see how he learns so much, Danielle. Andy knows.
Shout out to him, but Antasaki Shangay, shout out to you for knowing. Come on. Education, we love it.
Now, okay, given that you had this private school life, is it safe to say that you didn't start dating until later on?
Oh,
because I know
I
didn't. Yeah, like I didn't touch a boy until college.
Oh, yeah. No, and not in my grandma's house either. She was so strict and so scary. And it was like this, like, really intense Christian, like, all weekend church I would go to with her. And I remember she told me if I kissed a boy, I would get pregnant. So then that freaked me out. And then, like, I just never even though I took health class and was like, oh, this is how this actually happened. I was like, she knows something else that these people don't know. So I was just like, terrified. And then she was like, if you get pregnant, I'm gonna leave you in a dark woods by yourself to have the raccoons raise you. And then I was like, there's no point. My grandma was so extra, and then my mom was just already afraid of my grandma, so like she wasn't even trying to do nothing with that. So like I just was like oblivious. When I was in college, I was like, oh, people like me, wow. I had no idea. A mess. Don't do that to your kids, parents.
I know.
Two things. One, that's like a PG Disney type thing where like a teenager gets pregnant and then they're left in the woods to be raised by raccoons. You can see that Disney trying to get like a Gen Z audience or something like that.
Yes. God.
And then the second thing. Are you meeting people at these clubs in Philly? Now, I'm so, like, because this is so foreign from, like, my experience in Philly. Also, I was in grad school, so, like, I was working 60 hours. I was teaching and working 60 hours a week, basically. So I did not have much time left over. Every once in a while, I would walk up to 7-Eleven and get get a pint of Ben and Jerry's at 1 in the morning.
And now it's popping off.
That was the club for me. Are you meeting people? What is the club? What is the club experience? All I've ever seen is a club on TV. So I don't know.
Oh, bless your heart. I would definitely have to say clubs. Okay, first of all, I was a clubber in my teens. So I would like sneak out of the house with my homegirl Keisha, and we would just be going to the clubs. And also like living that close to New York City, and nobody was checking IDs or anything at that time. So we would be like all
where?
Clubs, club exit.
Oh like my God, uptown or downtown?
All over. I'd be in the Village. I'd be at the balls. Okay. Yes. I was like anybody that would just let us in to see what was going on. We went.
Now, okay, were you still dressed like Maxine Waters, or did you have a club attire?
No, this is when I discovered Joyce Leslie.
Yeah,
I discovered.
Okay, wow, you just took me back. You just took me. I just transported through time.
And I discovered Rainbow, and I was like, yes, jeans, jeggings, and down tops, and halter tops, sign me up. So, like, I would have my little church clothes on, and then we would get on the bus, and then we would change our clothes, and then we'd be ready for New York, and we used to be cutting up.
Wow. So you were out there even when you were young. So even though grandma was like, the raccoons are going to get you, you were like, I'm a roll the dice.
Yeah, because I was like, I need to know what to expect in college. I can't just be coming up there freshly, you know what I mean? No, nothing. I need to know what's happening.
And would you talk to grown folks when you were out there? Were you and your friend just kind of like in a corner with a soda? What was the, like, how in it were you?
So she was always, I mean, because she was like really gorgeous, and also know that like I was just like this really pudgy, like awkward looking girl with bifocals. So even though I had the halter top on, my bifocals were still a sure giveaway that I was clearly underage and clearly raised by Christians. No, she was always like, yes, like, I would be like the supporter. Like, I was the best friend. I was like, okay, girl, get it. Yes, you're dancing. But yeah, we'd be dancing. And then I would always end up like having some serious conversation with some person at a bar, and they'd be talking about their wife and kids. And I'd be like, yo, that's crazy. What I think you should do, though, is stay with your wife and don't make bad decisions. And I think I saved a lot of marriages as a kid. At the bar, because I wouldn't be able to drink, because they'd be like, girl, you can't drink, you're like 16, stop. But I was like, but I will get this root beer and I will help people out. So that's how I had a lot of my like teen years.
Wow.
Root beer, now you're talking my language.
Yeah, that's true. You do love a root beer.
Yeah, that was it.
Root beer and discussing Ephesians with Men on the Edge.
Men on the Edge. Men on the Edge. Okay, so you're already hitting the streets. You're saving marriages in New York. So then when you get to Philly, now, once you're in college, did you, what's the word? Were you like, I gotta hook up with people? Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of like, I'm finally
free. Did you go
free.
Wild?
Yes. Did you, were you a girl gone wild?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a girl gone wild because I have a lot of my like roommates that ended up being girls gone wild for real. And I was also in theater. So I had rehearsal a lot of times. Like,
that.
So I've never been to a Temple homecoming because I always was in a show. And I would say the times that I did have a lot of fun would be the cast parties. That was when, like, for theater geeks, it was that. It was like, yes, we about to, the show is over. Come on, company, we're done. Into the woods, we're finished. Cheers. We just have a lot of drinks, and it was a lot of dancing. And the clubs that I did get to go to my freshman year, I mean, North Philly clubs at that time, they would be, like, in a church. You know what I mean? Then the it would be this one club called Club.
Wait, is this
Samba.
Like on Pose? Is this like at the Pose where they would have ballroom?
Literally, it was like Club Samba. They had it was in a church, and they had Fish Fry Fridays. So I was going for the fish too, and then you could kind of like. If you bought a fish, you could get in for free. So, like, I don't know whose cousin was doing that deal, but I was a sucker for that because I love to eat.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, though. See, the moment you say fish fry and you get in free with a fish, it's no longer a club. Okay? This is no longer an actual club.
It's a church social.
It's a church social. This is a church social.
You're right. You're absolutely right. This is the thing. I don't know how to pick them. But I will say there was this one club. There was a party they called Dripping Like Water, right? Because you were going to go to this party and sweat until no tomorrow. And they had three phases of this party. And everybody freshman year was trying to get into this party. I got into one. Mm-hmm. And this is when I was like the naive brain, do not drink things that people give you. And I was like, oh, that looks like juice. And it was like a really serious jungle punch.
Yeah.
Everclear and all
that happened to me.
Things. Oh, God, it was rough. And I was like, this is good. Kept drinking it. And then I remember all these like fraternity brothers, like the Alphas and the Omegas. They started doing the line and stuff and doing steps. And then I ended up in the middle of it. And they were like, is she a Delta? No. I was like, I'm not, but I want to be involved. And they're like, yo, we got to get this girl out of here.
Wow.
A mess.
A mess. So funny. They were like, you can't come to the next ones. You can't come to the others.
Literally, they're like, you're not even in a sorority, sis. I was like, I do theater. That counts.
I've done King Lear. I deserve to be here.
Period. I mean, if anybody can do some iambic pentameter, they should be let in. Come on.
Absolutely. I bought fish and a poem. Let me in the party.
That's it. That's it. Oh, God.
Of course. Catfish and the soliloquy from Macbeth. That is the...
Exactly.
Catfish
now, see,
filet.
That's a good party. I'm ready for that.
Hold on. The frats were alphas and omegas?
These are black frats, babe.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, that's so, like, Bible-y.
Oh, uh-huh.
I am the alpha and I'm the omega. I don't know my Bible.
You're right.
Okay. Okay,
Diva. That's good. That's good, because I don't know a lick of it. I know Adam and Eve did something, and that's the end of that. And
you
wept.
You blocked, and then you blocked
it. Wait,
hold on.
What did you, when you guys were at, when I was at Temple, it was so boring that I would sit and actually just read the Bible. What did you guys do?
Oh,
I would draw. I would draw in the little pamphlet you got that like had the like running order, and then when I filled that up, I would just read Bible stories because I was so bored. No, what did you people?
You are being ridiculous.
No, I'm not. That's true.
You? Wait, what are you talking about?
At Temple?
Oh, you mean Temple like where you went on Sunday?
Oh, sorry.
I thought you
synagogue.
Still meant Temple
synagogue.
Oh, thank you.
At synagogue when you guys were at church. When I was at synagogue, not Temple University, when I was at
I was like, what?
Temple Oheb Shalom,
uh-huh.
It was so boring.
Yes, that's it.
did you guys not read the Bible during church because it was boring?
No, I did not read the Bible during church.
No, and I think also, like, really, church was really for my mom. Like, that was her time to just, like, you know, wail and cry and give tithes and offerings. So I feel like I was really going to support her through whatever she was going through at that time because she was a single mom. Mm-hmm. So, like, but church, after praise and worship, I was tuned out.
You're done.
Like, yeah, the music, it was the best part for me. I was like, yes, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. And then after that, I don't know what happened. I was like either asleep or just like coloring.
It was funny because I used to, and I didn't know this until much later. I liked church because ladies would give me candy. And then I didn't find out till later they were giving me that to shut me up. Do you see what I'm saying? They're like, give her like a mint or something. Cause I would be like, okay, and I'll take it. But I was still talking. And then my mom explained to me, she was like, they were giving you candy in hopes that if you were sucking on candy, you would stop talking. And I was like, well, they got it wrong. God. They got it wrong. So yes. I was just getting candy all the whole time.
Yes, church candy. And shout out to, I have no idea where they got that candy from.
I know.
Like, my grandma has, like, where is that little, you know, the little strawberry one?
With
Yes.
Where are those from? I don't know. I think Jesus is giving that to them specifically. Like,
right.
He just be refilling it monthly because I don't know. I can't tell you where those candies are from.
That's so not true. Because it's like, I've never seen them, like, even in a drugstore. Like, if you go to Walgreens, they're not over there.
Never.
You get it from a special catalog where you get the communion wafers from.
Probably. It's a catalog. It is a catalog.
They're getting that thing from Avon. That's it.
So, you know, because we are going to be answering people's relationship questions of all kinds, but sort of, you know, what was your relationship to relationships? You know, as you, I know you were talking about, like, obviously you were doing your theater and stuff. Were you somebody who was like, I want a boyfriend and like, I want to have, you know, all this kind of thing? Or were you, or was it more like, if it comes, it comes? You know what I mean? Like, what was the kind of.
Yeah. I think because I grew up in a single mom household and that my, you know, my grandmother and my mom were like very, very strong, independent women. I was like, if it comes, it comes. Mm-hmm. But if I did like someone, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe we can see where this goes. But I did find myself in college, and I never knew exactly how to describe this, but in a lot of, like, situationships where it would be like, you know, we're, like, really intense friends, but we're also hooking up. You know what I mean? And it'd be like, no real ties, but they're ties. And then I'm like meeting people's whole families and they're like, oh my God, y'all are going to end up getting married. And I'm like, am I? Because I think this person is sleeping with other people, but it's cool. But like, I would just end up in these situationships. And I hadn't really had like a lot of relationships while I was in college, but I had many many situationships, especially in the theater, because everybody's a hoe in the theater.
Everybody's a hoe in the theater.
Everybody.
I've heard that. A lot of massage circles.
Oh. They love to circle up and massage.
It's a trust fall.
But then, so then once you kind of left that, because then it was after Philly you went to Chicago?
So after Philly, I went to grad school in the UK. And
yes.
I literally sworn off any relationships. I was like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to go and finally have the whole phase that I deserve. And I was like, I'm just going to go to UK. I'm going to meet Idris Elba. I'm going to meet John Boyega. I'm going to meet the other Idris that's on that other show. And I was like, I'm just going to meet all of them. And then we're just going to all have sex. And it's going to be great. I'm going to have all the pints. And it's going to be amazing. And then I met my husband, Jack Wallace. And I thought he was so weird. And I never dated outside of my race in my life.
Wow.
I was like, this is not for me. And I was like, okay, we're just going to be actual friends.
Yeah.
And then all my friends were like, he really likes you. And I'm like, likes me to do what? Like, what are we actually going to be doing? Because I was just like, so still very naive. And I was like, I don't even know. Like, what are we just going to be looking at each other? Like, I don't know what me and this white man are about to be doing. he invited me on a date. And the date was, I mean, a disaster because I ended up getting a chili stuck in the back of my molars.
What?
And I could not. Yes. Literally.
What?
And this dude is so stupid. He's like, oh, it's okay. And stuffed his mouth full of chilies so I wouldn't look crazy. A mess. And I was like, I cannot go be out with someone that's so idiotic. And 10 years later, we're still.
Wait. No.
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. Also, was that charming? Instead of him, like, maybe helping get the chili out, was it charming that he's like, I'm gonna make you feel better by putting chilies in my mouth?
No.
I was like, why would you do that? Just help me. Get some milk for me. Like, we don't both have to suffer. You know, like, come on. Like, what's happening? Like, that's Jack. Like, he's, this guy, I never met any, and my grandmother says, she's like, I never met anybody like this man before. My family loves him, and usually.
Wow. He won over black grandma?
No, this is what I'm saying. And my family, I mean, especially a Brit, like, we're all Jamaican. And, you know, Jamaican, British, they colonized Jamaica in 1962. So, really, that was not about to fly at all. And he won over my whole family. My family loves Jack. I remember my Uncle Mike, who's just, like, this big, brawly guy. And he's really tough. And he's like, where's my man Jack? And I'm like, can I get a hello? Like, you didn't even say, like, do y'all remember me? Like, hello, I've been here the whole time. They just be surpassing me. Like, where's my man, Jack? My grandma loves him. My mom loves him. And I love his family, too. Like, they are very much so a modern family. And I think if they weren't, it would never have worked out. Like, his sister is married to somebody from Mumbai. My nieces and my nephews. He got two gay aunties. Like, it's like a very blended family. It's a lot going on. And I was like, okay, so they get it. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
But now,
let's go back though. You feeling like you had never dated a white dude, let alone an OG colonizer. And you were friends, and like after that, you said the first date was a disaster, and when you were like, what the hell you doing with the damn chili? You ain't helping nobody. How did he get a second date? Like, how does this kind of end up progressing?
Well, we just became friends. And I think that's where I went wrong, is because I was like telling him how much I missed the United States and I miss my family and I miss all my friends. And he was like slowly but surely collecting data at that time. And he was just like, great, she's missing people. I want to have my chance soon. And like, he would take me on these like really nice things around the city of like, oh, we should go to the markets and oh, we should do this. And I was like, okay, cool. And then you just start to build this natural affection for someone. And it wasn't even really a second date, y'all. Like, I was just being a hoe, to be honest. I was like, he had a party at his house. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm drunk and I miss everybody. And then we just ended up literally sleeping together. And then that was even hilarious because I had a whole interrogation process before we even slept together. Because I was like, okay, how does this work with white people? How do y'all have sex? Is it different? Like, what are we about to be doing? Like,
what? Okay. What did you think was going to happen, Danielle?
I didn't know. I thought Harriet Tubman was going to pop out and be like, this is not going to be a thing. I didn't know what to expect. I was like, I don't know. I was like, there are certain positions. I don't know what we can do right now. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, and he was like, okay, Danielle, he's just laughing at me the whole time.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, this is great. It's regular. I was like, this is great. Okay, so nothing popped out, you know what I mean? Like,
I can't with Danielle right now. Danielle thinking that
what I'm imagining that she was imagining was like, it like she imagined that he had like an, you know, an alien, you know, the little alien head that comes out of the bigger alien head.
Yeah,
that's what I was imagining she was imagining
coming out of his urethra.
Yeah.
No, but literally, I was absolutely terrified. Had no clue.
Yeah.
And now, had he been with black women before you?
No.
Okay. But he obviously wasn't as afraid of you as you were of him.
No. I was absolutely terrified. Like, literally.
I'm so sorry I'm laughing. I understand it is a journey.
No.
But
no, laugh, laugh, laugh. It's real.
That is amazing. Okay. And so then, like, kind of once you, so pretty much, like, once y'all hooked up, it was kind of like, okay, yes, now you're like, I see you in a sexy way now. You're not just my friend.
Yeah. I mean, and I was still trying to, like, I was still trying to keep it light because I was like, look, I'm never going to be in England again. This is a one-time thing. And then he asked me to be his girlfriend in such a beautiful way that I've never been asked before. Because usually I would, like, be in these relationships.
Situationships, then, yes.
Literally situationships.
Exactly,
and then
yeah.
I would go to somebody's mom's house and they'd be like, oh, by the way, that's my girl. And I'm like, oh, we've been together for 2 years. And I've never even heard you say that we were even together. So I guess this is official. I don't know. But, like, nobody ever told me. Like, I didn't, oh, that's my girl. Okay.
Right.
Do I have to do something differently now? But yeah, he was like, hey, Dina, like, well, first of all, he got on one knee and I was like, never. I was like, it's really not that deep, bro. Like, just get up. He's like, no, I just want to ask, do you want to be my girlfriend? I would love to be your boyfriend. And I was like, is this a real thing? Like,
yeah.
Do people
it feels
get
very
on
British.
One
it feels Bridgerton. It feels very Bridgerton.
Like, I was like, it does. I was like, oh, wow. Like, we were courting. Like, that was a thing. And I was like, okay, cool. Sure. Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh. That is. And then you were like, get your ass over to America.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I wanted to stay in England for so long, and then the day of my graduation, the visa laws changed and said that all students had to go back home immediately after graduation. And I was, like, heartbroken because I couldn't do my showcase in England, where all the agents and stuff come, and we had to do our showcases in New York, and I had to go away, and we spent a lot of our relationship on Skype for, like, the year that we weren't with each other. And we actually got engaged over Skype because...
Really?
And it was such an anticlimactic engagement. The fact that he was like, should we get married? I know he'd been wanting to get married because we'd gone on these little trips to, like, Jamaica and Italy. And he would, like, always get on one knee and I'm like, get up. I was like, we're just on the trip. I don't want these shenanigans. I don't want any, like, if you're going to do it, just do it in a way that's not going to stress me out. Like, don't do this big thing.
Oh, you didn't, in general, you're like, I don't want a production. You didn't want to feel like it was going to be a spectacle.
No, exactly. I was like, just let it be. So on Skype, he was like, should we get married? Would you want to marry me? And I was like, I think so. And then his whole family busted out. They're like, oh my God, they're getting married. I said, we are. And he's like, Danielle, would you want to be my mind? Like, did the whole thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then they flew me up to England the next week. And then he did the whole thing, like, in front of my graduate school. And my teachers were there and all this stuff. So, again, my teachers, like, I'm telling you, these are my girls. I'm trying to
this
tell
is,
you.
I know.
These are my girls.
Oh, my gosh. I also love that. So, you know, you went to grad school for acting in the UK, and now you're, like, on an American version of a UK show, which feels
wild.
Very wild to me. Of all the programs. Of all the programs.
Very serendipitous. It's like the universe, God makes no mistakes. It feels insane.
It's crazy. Oh, my goodness. Okay, this is a lot of backstory. Okay, see, this is what I needed. I was waiting for that breakthrough. You wanted to tell me about the club and the car. I said, no, get me to the part. Where you make some crazy choices.
I've never been to a club before.
I know.
I know you've never
wanted information.
I know you wanted a lot of information about clubs, honey.
All right, why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to answer some of your advice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Honey, Danielle letting white love in. And here we are 10 years later. Bless her heart.
By the way, listeners, if anyone wants to draw a penis with an alien head coming out of the urethra, we'll post it.
Yes, I love it.
I like that idea. Okay, so we get questions from Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, and of course our favorite voicemail. So here we go with a voicemail.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Naomi. My fake name is Layla. Pronouns, she and they. First time caller. Love you guys. I am calling actually just to get your insight on ghosting. I think I'm being ghosted for what feels like the millionth time by somebody who I've been dating kind of casually, kind of openly. He's older. He has another partner that he recently told me he's getting more serious with. And the last time I messaged him was 2 weeks ago, and I've messaged him twice in the past 2 weeks, and I just stopped hearing from him. And the last time we hung out was maybe 3 weeks ago, and he said, yeah, we're definitely going to hang out next week. Let's talk about it. And then when I texted him to see if he was free, he didn't respond. So I'm just wondering, like, what you guys think is the best way to kind of deal with ghosting. I feel like even though it's happened to me so many times, it never gets easier. And I'm trying to kind of be above it and be bigger and not respond and just focus on myself and letting go. But I don't know, part of me wants to be like, is everything okay? Or to message him and be like, hey, I definitely told you I don't like feeling ignored, and you're ignoring me now. Or do I message him and say, it's okay if you don't want to see me anymore, but I'd rather know. I don't know. What's the best? What do you guys think? Is it better to just not say anything and just focus on myself and all the other great things happening in my life besides this one person? Thank you so much. Give my love to Mabel and the cat. Can't wait to hear your advice. I'm trying to think, is there any other things I want to say? No. He's older, dating openly. We had an open conversation. And it just feels kind of shitty to be ghosted. Okay, that's it. Love you. Bye.
Delete this freak. That's what I say from your phone. Yeah. By the way, this is embarrassing. I 100% forgot. This is not connected to your show at all. Like, I wasn't like, let's do this one. I was clearing out some of the older advice questions that we haven't got to.
No, that's perfectly that's fine. So
I just realized it as
know,
it was happening.
Right? I know. Have you been ghosted? Were you ghosted in your youth?
No, because I'm Jamaican and I need answers. So I'd be like, what's happening? Like, I'm a very, like, you know, yes, I'm a sweetheart, but I also need to know, like, what's going on. Just so I'm clear. And that's the thing, like, if she does go down the route of just being like, hey, what's happening? Just be honest with me. She also has to be okay with what those come with, like, the set of answers are. Like, because if the answers aren't anything that she's going to, it may not be a fairy tale answer. You know, yeah. It may be like, you know what, I can't do this. And she just has to make sure that her heart is protected through that part, you know, during that section of things. But I hate people ghosting. I think it's just so lame.
Me too. Especially, like, you know, the older we get. Like, I think, you know, meaning I certainly was ghosted a lot in my 20s, honey, in New York City. And New York City is a great, it's so funny because sometimes it can be a small town. You can run into somebody. You'll have people you see on your commute. And yet, sometimes you date somebody and they just disappear. It's like, I know you're still alive. I know you're somewhere. You just never see them again. It's easy to ghost. And so, you know, I would never, like, I would usually have a sense, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, this person not responding doesn't surprise me based on, let's say, how our last interaction went, right? So that, so yeah. I never really felt this, like, I got to get answers, you know, and had not, because the one thing she didn't tell me, which I needed to know, is how long they had been seeing each other.
Yeah. That's
because true. That will also determine, you know, I guess kind of how much you push, I think.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I will also say about this too, where you say like, well, what should I do? You're like, should I just like, you know, let it go and focus on me and the great things in my life? Yes. You know the answer there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you can't make anybody tell you something they don't want to tell you. So you can message this person till the cows come home. He's not going to respond unless he wants to respond.
Show up at his house. Yeah. That's what I say. Show up at his house.
You fucking messy.
No,
Andy.
No.
You ain't Jamaican, Andy. You ain't Jamaican. You can't be getting those kind of answers.
Don't do that. Because what are you going to do, Andy, when you show up at the house? Like, what are you really going to do?
Pound on the door. Yell. Is she in there?
and then she comes out. What happens now?
Well, then you make friends with her. And then you get the tea from her.
Oh,
what's going on?
Oh, my goodness. No,
oh,
I know what you, I know, like,
I'm not being serious.
No, but at the same time, like, I get that fucking impulse, right? Like, but at the same time, it's like, because you can't make this person answer you, I think that you have no choice but to let it go. I think that, you know, it is frustrating. It sucks because I feel like exactly like you, like, because when somebody ghosts you, especially after they've seemed really into you, it makes you feel crazy because you're like, wait, did that not happen?
Ooh, is there,
you know,
ghost lighting?
What do you say?
Ghost lighting. Is it a gas lighting?
Ghost lighting. Mm. Yes. When someone's like, oh, no, you don't exist anymore. And you're like, well, you were inside me moments ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's like,
exactly
that. I get that. And it's like, it can be hard to let that go. But it's like, well, you have to me. It might help to think of a ghost as a coward, because I think that's something in my head. It's like, this is somebody who is too lazy and scared to, like, have an unpleasant conversation.
That's exactly it.
Also, looking back where I'm like, you know what? The people who ghosted me or who weren't into me or, you know, who kind of left quickly actually did me the biggest favor. Because they wasted the least amount of my time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? You knew. I don't like the way maybe you did it. But at the same time, it's like, honey, when you trash and you know you trash,
do me the
gift of leaving me alone. Period. Do me the gift of leaving me be.
I agree. Dip.
And it's like, you don't, you know, and of course at the time when you like somebody, it's like, why? But it's like, they know something that you don't know yet. And what they know is that they're not right for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, bye. Thank you. And it's like, especially because if this is an open situation and you said he had started seeing someone else a little more seriously. So I'm assuming what happened was things progressed with that person. Shit. In the space of a week, it can happen. I don't fucking know. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Which, again, you had an open conversation. You knew that person existed. So what you would like is for this person to say, hey, I'm with this person now and have decided to just, you know, focus on them for, you know. But this person's too lazy and scary. And,
can we come up with a different word? Because I like that you called it cowardice. Like, can we come up with a different word for being ghosted? Because it is cowardly. Like it just seems like I want to really highlight this person being yellow bellied.
I see what you're saying.
As opposed to in Deadwood.
Yeah, yellow bellied coward. I know. What could we? You've been snaked. He slunk off into the grass.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of ghosting, I was like, they've been JonBenet, but I think that's too dark. That's too dark.
Not too dark for us. Maybe too dark for culture at large.
Yeah, for common parlance.
For culture at large.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
But it's like it's just like, ew, these people suck. It's terrible. And listen, you are right to be annoyed, to be angry, to want answers. That doesn't make you crazy. That doesn't make you, you know, like you're not out of bounds. But you have to accept that you cannot make anyone answer you. So now you got to let go and like, God, you have no fucking choice. And it sucks. It sucks. People suck. They do. I hate it. I hate it. I swear to God, like, I literally do not wish dating on my worst enemy. I never want to go out there again.
Yeah. No, I get it. There's no way. I don't have it. I don't have enough Spanx to do it. I'm good. I'm good.
Right? I just, like, I can't. I can't, man. They're, like, so awful and lazy.
Do you think the snake, do you think he really is in an open relationship?
Oh, you think it might not have been?
Yeah, I have a feeling that he's, that our caller is on the side. As they say, a side piece.
Uh-huh, as opposed to being, like, dating openly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just getting those vibes. Side piece vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That could be it. People love saying they're in open relationships when they're not, you know?
I know. They really do.
It's crazy.
That's so true. Ooh, drama.
Whew. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Let's do this one.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. Love the pod. Thanks for everything you do. I have a question / would just love your opinion on the relationship between daughter-in-law, son-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law. My mother-in-law, right before I had my wedding with my husband, kind of demanded that I call her mom and her husband, which is my my husband's stepfather, mom and dad. She wanted me to call her mom and dad or nothing at all. Like, don't even say her name. And I did not feel comfortable with this. I have my own parents. They are nothing like my parents. I don't look at my in-laws as parental figures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wanted to call them by their first name. Mm-hmm. But again, my mother-in-law was adamant about calling her mom, about me calling her mom and her husband dad. They are just the opposite of the people who raised me. My parents are intellectuals. My husband's parents are like suburbanites and, you know, just like, I just don't feel that way for them, towards them. And, how do you guys feel about calling your in-laws mom and dad? Do you think it's, like, strange? And it just makes me kind of almost dislike her more for trying to force that on me. And I don't even call her by her name. I just don't call her anything. So, again, what's your opinion? Would love it. Do you guys have your own experience with this or friends with this? Let me know. Thanks. Thanks for everything you do. Love you guys. Hello, guest.
Oh, my God.
Thanks again. Bye.
This person is wild to me.
Oh, wow.
They hate their in-laws.
That got really serious. She's like, my parents are intellect.
She's like, my in-laws are trash.
My in-laws are troglodytes that just walk through the mud.
She's like, damn, girl. You could just say they're your parents.
These cockroach-eating garbage people.
You did not need that layer.
Dang, that was serious. That was serious. I feel bad.
Oh my gosh, she is so
bad. I feel bad for the in-laws. I'm like, dang, what did they do?
My parents read books. These freaks are barely literate.
Jesus, she went off. Now, I know you said that Jack's family, you know, you love them. They're, you know, they get it. They're cool. What is your relationship like with the parents? Like, for instance, would you call and chat up your mother-in-law just like, hey, girl, how you doing?
Yeah, without question. I mean,
okay,
that's my boo. But also, I don't call her. I mean, I love Maureen. And also because I was raised I was, you know, in a black family, like you always just say, like, Miss Marine or auntie or something.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's always like,
yeah.
So when we first met, I was like, Miss Marine. And she was like, just call me Maureen. That's fine. And even now, I mean, I struggle because I'm like, Maureen.
I know, me too. I'm the same with Anna. Like, I'm like, hey, Norma. Like, it just feels
It's a little bit of a struggle. But like, my brother-in-law calls her mom. You know what I mean? Like, he calls her, like, officially mother. He'd be like, mother!
also British. But, mother.
Yeah, he'd be like, mother.
Mom.
But, like, yeah, I don't think there's an... If she's really adamant about it, like, it's okay. Like, you can either just not call her anything at all and just be like, hi! you know, I don't know. Because, like, my husband calls my mom, like, I think he still calls her, like, Auntie Joan, because my mom wants to be referred as Auntie by everybody.
Really?
And, like, or, like, sometimes he'll be, like, Mama Joan, because, like, she's fine with that, too. But, like, don't ever call my mom by her first name.
Yeah.
Like, if you're younger than her, it's like a really serious moment.
Yeah. I know. It's funny. Andy, it's funny because I do think about, well, also because I was talking to a new therapist yesterday and trying to explain to her black mama drama. You know, I've been trying to get it added to the DSM, you know, and I just need medical professionals to be on board. But
yes.
I think that there is culturally a little more infantilizing in that you ain't grown to me, no matter kind of how old you are. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's real.
Yeah. And this is what I was saying, where it's like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's like, and so there are things like that, too, where it's like, you know, I remember growing up, I went to, like, a white friend's house, and we, like, went in her parents' bedroom for something, and it's like, you would never go into an adult's bedroom in my house. You know what I mean? Like, my aunt's house, my cousin, like, that's the grown folks area. Children don't go in there.
But
exactly.
What if you wanted to play Nintendo? The Nintendo was in my parents' room.
Was it really? Why?
So that they could control how long we played Nintendo for.
Oh, yeah, no. No, when you can't play on Nintendo. Or at least you can't play with your friends. Like, you could go in your parents' room, but don't be bringing these other kids up in my house.
No, probably
my
friends.
It's the other kids. That's that part. Because then they're going to be rummaging through stuff and find a tax return, and it's gone. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's too much. No, it's different.
Yeah.
And sis was upset.
Yes, exactly.
Just now, like, and I'm like, but just be like, hey, mom, what's up? It don't have to be nothing else.
Well, but then I was also going to say, though, the way you said, like, Mama Jones, my first thought was, like, can you come up with something else to call her? Meaning, like, so if it is, like, Jack's, like, Mama Jackie or something where you could, because I think what she wants, obviously, again, is that family feel. And also, maybe she's, like, really serious about it not feeling formal. And so I think that, like, you could also give her a nickname or something. I think if what she wants is closeness, you could do that if saying M-O-M is too much for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a nickname works.
Something. You know what I mean?
Something.
Hey, dummy.
Mama Barb.
Hey, stupid.
Shit, I cannot, like, we do need to address this whole my parents are intellectuals. I was like, wow, okay, there's some judgmental savagery here that I think.
That was a lot.
It was.
That
the
was
in-laws
lot.
Are like, you know, what's a nice
No, I don't want to hear it. It don't matter what they are. You have married into that family, and when you marry somebody, you marry their family.
You have to respect the elders.
Do you think your mom would like me more if I called her like Auntie Deb?
I don't know. Maybe. You want to try it? You should try it and see what happens. See if that would make her be like, Andy gets it. No, she's just happy that you're earning money. Now she likes you.
That part, that's the thing for black moms in real time. Can you support? Can you take care? It's good.
Exactly.
That's it.
It's like, that's it. I think, giving them a nickname and just sort of, you know, trying to shape things. Also, though, as always, where is your husband in this conversation? Like, I'm assuming he knows how you feel. What has he said? You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be the insight into his parents. So, ask him. It's like, hey, what could I say instead of mom, since mom is, like, really my sticking point? but obviously mm-hmm. I want her to be happy. Or also talking to, or you could have him say to her, his own mom, like, can you not make her call you mom? Because then it makes it sound like we're brother and sister, and that's not sexy.
That's it. You could do that. Yeah, get him involved.
Something.
Get him involved. But she was really upset, and that is, I mean, I'm tickled. I'm tickled. I really am.
Yeah.
When Sis brought up the intellectual part, I said, wait a minute. This is taking down a rough road for her. She's upset.
Do you know what it is? I bet if there wasn't this kind of friction, she wouldn't have said something like that. Because I understand, like, I don't go after people unless I'm already, like, annoyed beyond belief.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't go after people like that. So, like,
you think it's a resentment buildup?
I think it is. I think they're like at their wit's end. Be like, I don't want to call this person mom. Mm-hmm. They're not my mom.
Yeah.
So I get it. That's why I was laughing so much, because I really identify. I'm like, oh, I see where you're at.
It's a buildup.
But Danielle, see, you knew, you decided to marry someone whose parents were in another country, another time zone. So, you know, you don't have to deal with that kind of in-law.
They are
intrusion.
9 hours ahead. Yes. They're living that 9 hours ahead life.
They're far ahead of time. But I love them. And that's the thing. Like, I love my sister-in-law. I think she's one of the smartest human beings on the planet Earth. I want her to make a podcast. She'll never do it. But, like, I think she's...
And that's what makes her smart as well.
She's the funniest. She's the funniest. Lizzie is the funniest human I've ever met in my life. And I'm like, I see, like, comedy in her life. She just is like, no, sis, I'm good. She has a whole eBay business. Like, she's working in tech. Like, she's like, I'm good. But I think she's just genius. I love them so much. I think they're so brilliant, all of them.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Was she selling Beanie Babies?
Oh, my God. Have y'all seen that documentary about the Beanie Babies?
No.
It's wild.
Is it? Okay.
It's wild about how these, like, six families in Chicago started the craze themselves. I had no clue.
Wow.
Yes, it's wild.
Wow. That's... And you know they're doing a movie, a TV show about it.
What?
Or, like, maybe a movie. All I know is I auditioned and didn't get it.
I was like, oh, how do you know this? You're like, oh.
About the craze. The guy, Ty, who was, you know, started, who made Beanie Babies, and then, like, how it went to the max. I think it's Zach Galifianakis, maybe.
Oh, my God.
But, yes, okay, I didn't realize there's already a documentary about it, too. Okay, so.
Wild.
It's so funny. It's like the era for late 90s, early aughts, because they just had an Abercrombie and Fitch. Right.
Beanie Babies were the NFTs of the 90s.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's it.
That's it. So now people are just buying digital Beanie Babies. That's all these little, like, think about all those little, like, NFTs where it's like, it's a monkey. It's like, what is that? I don't even understand.
How dare you besmirch the apes? How dare you besmirch the apes?
They look crazy.
They really do. Really do.
They look really crazy.
My heroes, Jimmy Fallon and...
Stop, we have to let Danielle go. Sorry, Danielle. We can't end on chaotic energy.
We start on chaotic energy, might as well end on chaotic energy. That's what I say. Full circle.
Danielle, thank you so much for coming through and gracing us, honey. Yeah. This is beautiful.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And hey, followers, how y'all doing?
Danielle is a ray of light. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We will see you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.